But in response to Mr. Pearson, I mean, he's a reasonable man, but this is, as he actually said earlier, this is not an asymmetrical conflict. This is a conflict where Israel, being the oppressor, aggressor, and occupier, is the one who dictates the terms of the engagement. I agree that there are excesses on both sides, but the Israeli government is excessive. The Israeli government used the unity government, wanted to destroy the unity government that Hamas and the Palestinian Authority formed, with no Hamas members in the leadership that was formed in April. Netanyahu found his pretext to go into Gaza and try to destroy that when the three Israeli teenagers were kidnapped and killed. So, I mean, the bottom line is that Hamas has offered for many years now to make peace with Israel on the 1967 borders and honoring the will of the Palestinian people. Even many heads of Shin Bet, the Israeli security services, and Mossad have said that Israel should talk to Hamas. Why won't Israel talk to Hamas? They won't talk to Hamas because they don't want to make peace. They could easily moderate Hamas. They've known that for years. Prior to the invasion of 2008, Operation Cast Lead, many Israeli advisors told the cabinet that if they wanted, they could have a long-term ceasefire or truce with Hamas, and that Hamas could be moderated. Remember, Hamas is a militant but also a political organization. They are not monolithic. Many members of Hamas are very moderate. And Israel could have had this, but Israel doesn't want peace. It seems to me they want to take over the Gaza Strip eventually and populate it with Israeli Jews. And actually, this is a plan that is called for by Moshe Feiglin, who is the deputy speaker of the Knesset and who has recently been appointed to a very prestigious committee by Benjamin Netanyahu. So the bottom line is there will be no peace. There will be no honest negotiations until, in my opinion, the United States makes Netanyahu or whoever is in charge in the Israeli government, makes them get real and accept the fact that they cannot ethnically cleanse the entire land of Palestinians and replace the people with Jewish people only.
I know, Mr. Pearson, that you had a reaction to that, but before getting to you, just hold on to your thoughts. We just want to go to our Facebook comments. A lot of our viewers have been sending in those comments about this issue. Let's listen in to what they have to say.
The UN should have long ago moved against Israel. The country should be disarmed and dismantled. The so-called peace talks in their 20th year, while Israel continues to build over 120 illegal settlements on Palestinian land, kill Palestinians, restrict their travel, etc. The Zionists break the truces within hours, then try to blame Hamas, as always. Western powers are responsible for the failure of truce talks because they reward the Zionist criminal behavior. I blame Hamas and anyone who supports Hamas. No more ceasefire, IDF. Go and finish your remaining work. Blame the Palestinians, then murder them. Destroy all of what little they have, then steal the land. The 66-year-old story with the same script over and over again. History has proven that Israel has, does, and never will want peace until they have driven out every single Palestinian from Palestine.
And those are just some of our viewer comments about this very hot topic, of course, and there were a lot of them, so we just chose some of them and try to keep a balance there. Mr. Pearson, I wanted to get you a chance to respond, of course, to Mr. Forer, and I also just wanted to throw this in there. You know, one of the comments was that on the other side, if I may call it that, that there was no more ceasefire IDF. Go and finish your remaining work. Now, that is quite a crude comment, is it not, considering we've also seen that many Gazans who have returned to their homes have seen, you know, things like death to Arabs written on their tables, coffee tables. They've seen feces and bottles of urine, remaining back by the Israeli soldiers who had taken over their houses and who had stayed in their houses during the time of the aggression.
Let me precede my remarks by complimenting you and the network for putting on a balance of commentary on this and opinion from your worldwide listeners. Let me say that it's very difficult for us to go back and draw a sequential history of offense, provocation, and response. What came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the missile threat or the Iron Dome response? What came first and why is very, very difficult to do. What we need to do is finally have leaders of goodwill and good heart on both sides. And there are leaders without goodwill and without good heart on both sides. Recognize
Mr. Peterson,
them,
if I may, can we not agree on who the occupied peoples are and who the occupier is at the very least?
Yes, but that chicken and egg scenario goes back to there was an occupation because there was an attack. Israel is a fly speck of a country in a sea of hostility. And for them to have been attacked and to hold land from which and through which that attack came in order to defend itself, when they have had thousands of missiles raining down upon innocents in cities daily and over many years, is not an unreasonable response. But going back to the provocation, that provocation had a provocation in turn. What I'm saying is we need to put that behind and work together, take a shower, come out clean of our past, and work on a present and a future of peace together.
Let me put that to Mr. Ford, if I may. We just have a couple minutes left. Mr. Ford, how do you feel about that, this issue of who the provocateur is and who the victim is here?
Well, it's clear that the provocateur is the state of Israel. I mean, yes, Arab countries invaded the land designated by the United Nations partition plan for the Palestinians on May 14th, 1948, when Israel declared statehood. But just because the Arab world was angry at what Israel was doing, and Israel subsequently had already ethnically cleansed a few hundred thousand Palestinians before they declared statehood, but you can't use the argument that because Israel has antagonized all of its neighbors, that therefore it's a symmetrical conflict, that both sides are equally to blame. I mean, after all, Israel has ignored, for example, for 12 years, the Saudi peace initiative that would have established normal diplomatic relations with Israel and the entire Arab and Muslim worlds. It would have ended the conflict and provided security guarantees for all the states in the region. Now, Mr. Pierce is correct. It, idealistically speaking, yes, if people on both sides exhibited goodwill, then maybe we could find a fair and just solution. But unfortunately, the Israeli government for sure is not willing to exhibit goodwill because it wants more land. The Israeli government has conducted a cruel and brutal occupation for decades. And what they are doing in Gaza is simply an expression of their attitude towards the Palestinian people. Just the fact that Netanyahu used a pretext in order to invade Gaza because he didn't want the unity government. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice 70 or more of his soldiers in order to also sacrifice a couple thousand Palestinians in order to avoid making peace. I mean, I want to say one thing that has never been said before. You know, the Israelis look upon the Palestinians as the enemy. They look upon Palestinians from birth as the enemy or as terrorists. And Palestinians, and I don't blame them, look upon the Israelis as the enemy. But the real enemy, the primal enemy, is the unexamined mind that unconsciously projects its suffering onto the world and then blames and scapegoats the world for its suffering. Israel is making the world, and in particular the Palestinian people, pay for the Holocaust and for the stories that are indoctrinated into their children about the Holocaust and about how the world hates Jews and how Arabs want to finish what Adolf Hitler started. I mean, this all goes back to the abuse of Israeli society and the moral decay of Israeli society that is instituted by its leaders.
Okay, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. I'm sure, Mr. Peterson, that you had a reaction to that too, but unfortunately, we have unfortunately run out of time. But of course, we'll try to continue this conversation some other day as well here on Press TV. We'd like to have both of you back on. That was Mr. Richard Forer and Mr. Frederick Peterson speaking to us live here on The Debate. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you joining us as well for this edition of The Debate. Do join us tomorrow as well, as we'll be back with a new topic as well.